Dave.
Joe.
Welcome back.
Welcome back, Joe.
It's been a while. We missed a couple weeks. Sorry for everybody that are all our listeners out there. We had a little bit of a busy schedule out there.
Yeah, I would say life got in the way a little bit, which can happen.
It sure can. Gets in the way a lot. Life shouldn't get away with football.
No, I mean, life, you know, football is a bit of our life, but there's priorities too, and things can happen.
It
gets
busy. We get busy. Life gets busy. Family, kids, everything. We get busy.
And we weren't taking a break to, like, you know, come up with a better format. We had to take a break, but we're back to talk football again, and things are getting really interesting as we're progressing through the season.
And we didn't miss any football. We could go back and talk about everything that we've missed in the past couple of weeks, but we don't need to.
We don't want
to
bore everyone with...
But we're all up to speed. We're up to speed in what's going on in the NFL.
We are.
We're not behind.
Yeah,
we're just behind on...
We're always on top. Yes.
Yeah, always on top. Sure. Hey, there's a few teams that are up on top that I don't see them coming down at all. I'm sure we'll get into that. But we could get into a little bit of that right now. We have a couple teams up there. Kansas City and Detroit. Looks like they're almost... Would you say locking in their divisions?
Well, I mean, their records are, you know.
They're both 12-1, right?
Yes.
So, I mean.
Yeah, they're locked in, and they have one loss. So, I mean, they do have, you know, they could lose a couple, but based on their schedule, especially one team, I doubt it. Philadelphia could, you know, have a chance, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're right, because if you look at the.
Like on the NFC side.
NFC, yeah. You got Philadelphia and Minnesota both sitting at 11-2.
Yeah.
So they could catch Detroit.
Yeah.
The AFC, you know, Buffalo, who's looking really good, and Pittsburgh looking really good. I don't see Pittsburgh jumping up that or taking that step to be the AFC champions.
Yeah. Yeah, because I don't see the other teams faltering.
Right.
That's what the
exactly.
way I kind of see
and
it.
And Buffalo, I think after this week or before... This week, or I guess you could say last week, whatever, their game against the Rams, I would have said they were in the mix.
Right.
And I'm not saying that they've lost to the Rams, now they're like, oh my God. No, I'm saying that brings them down to 10-3, and then they got Detroit.
Yeah.
So it's not like, you know what I mean? It's like they need to win out, and with Detroit next, there's a potential that they could lose or they could win.
Yeah, but I think
it'd be hard to catch Kansas City on the AFC side. That's what I'm saying, it's harder.
Yes. Yeah, they're definitely... They have a bit of more of an uphill battle.
Yes.
You know, when you're playing a team like Detroit, who's kind of ruling in the NFC, you know, your chances of winning... It's not to say that Buffalo, you know, the way Josh Allen's playing. I mean, you know, he's pretty much put that team on his back.
Oh, and, lights out.
And that game was amazing to watch because, I mean, that was like back and forth. And, you know, when we, you know, don't call it a comeback. I mean, each team was coming back that whole game, back and forth, back and forth. It was an amazing game to watch.
At one point, like, I actually thought it was over in the, like, what was it, third or the quarter? I'm like, well,
when they got up by 17.
This game. It's over.
Yeah.
I was like, nope.
Yeah, like, but Buffalo, like, they scored so fast.
And we always say it, right? As long as Josh Allen has the ball, stuff happened. And what did he do that game? I mean, we might as well get into that game. What did he do that game? So that Josh Allen was the first player in NFL history to have 3 rushing touchdowns and 3 passing touchdowns.
Yeah. He was putting up, I mean, they talk about the past and like what he was able to accomplish in that game, like Otto Graham. Like he's putting up kind of like crazy numbers. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, that particular game anyway.
Yeah.
But he does it, like he just, when it comes to running the ball, he's their running back. And their quarterback, and sometimes he catches a pass for a touchdown too.
Yeah, he's doing it all. Let's just say that, right?
Buffalo must be happy to have him.
Well, they won. I mean, sorry, the Rams won 44-42.
Oh yeah, I mean,
so it was a close game. It wasn't much of a defensive game.
No,
it was an offensive game.
But like all cylinders on the Rams' offense. Like,
and I think the Rams are a really good team.
Yeah, they're dangerous.
Yeah, I think their record doesn't show it, but they're better than a 7-6 team.
Yeah. If they're in the mix, obviously, for the playoffs, but they're like, I would not want to play that team in the playoffs. Like the Rams. If you're a high seed and the Rams come along, they can knock you off, right? You know what I mean? Like, I think the Rams are a scary team to want to play if you're a team that's like just running away with your division.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the Eagles, you know, they could be a high seed. But if they got to go play the Rams, you know, the first week with Detroit with a bye,
yeah,
right? That'd be a hard win, man.
Yeah, I think so. I think the Rams division is pretty much a 500 division.
Yeah.
So they got Seattle and they got San Fran.
Yeah.
Right?
But competitive football teams, though.
No, yeah, I know. Yeah. You know, but like somebody's coming out of there. It's not over that division. Like somebody's coming out
of
there.
Not over by far. Yeah. Like, yes.
So that game was 44-42. I think both teams played really good. I think Buffalo's defense, if you put your Buffalo Bill hat on, like fan hat on,
yeah,
you would
that's
say
what you're scared about, right?
Yeah, because you would say our offense did everything they could do, which was true. They put 42 points up.
Yeah.
But your defense got 44 points scored on them.
Yeah. You couldn't stop the other team.
Right. The only thing I'm worried about if I'm a Bill fan is I have the Lions coming up.
Yeah.
Like
the Lions who can like score points at will.
Right. But then sometimes these are good games to get. It's good to get 42 points scored on you as a defense because now when you get back Monday morning, okay, where do we go wrong?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I also think that, you know, opportunity for a team like Buffalo, that's an opportunity for them too, though, to like establish themselves as like a real deal
mm-hmm.
by going into Detroit and like beating them up or not beating them up. It's not going to happen. But winning the game, right? So like
just win the game.
I mean, if you're a good team and you want to be a good team, you want to be a championship team.
You beat the good
why
teams.
Wouldn't you want to play a team like that?
Oh, for sure. Well, yeah. it's like a benchmark for you.
For sure.
Where are we? Okay, we're the Buffalo Bills and we're 10-3. We beat Kansas City already this year.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So now we're
beating the champs.
Right? Yep. Who are also leading the AFC. Mm-hmm. So now we're playing the NFC leaders.
Yeah.
So can we beat the Lions? Yep. So if they do, now you're talking about a whole different like confidence builder.
For sure.
Saying, who cares? We lost to the Rams.
Yeah.
Who cares? We lost to Houston.
Yeah,
we
they
beat
got
Kansas
confidence.
City and we beat Detroit.
Yes.
Right?
They gained a ton by beating Kansas City, which they've done in the regular season. We all know that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, to get over the hump, yeah, I mean, go beat up a team that potentially that you'd be playing in the Super Bowl if you get there.
It could be a Super Bowl matchup.
Because it's NFC, AFC. Yep. We all know that, right? So you're going to play someone from the NFC.
Yeah.
So I think that's a big opportunity for them. And I could see Buffalo winning. I could see Detroit winning. I'm not looking at, like, Detroit definitely has an advantage probably on the defensive side of the ball.
A little bit, yeah.
Right? But, offensively, those two teams could go at it, LA.
Could you see? Yeah, I was gonna say, could you see it like an LA game, another high scoring game?
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, especially so if you stay with them, it's especially because Detroit played Green Bay.
Yeah.
And Detroit only won 34-31.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like I know. Okay, we're
look at the weather too, though. You know, they're going inside. You know, in Detroit, they're not playing in Buffalo.
Yeah.
Right. So that's
it's
huge
a dome
too,
game,
right?
Yeah, for both teams. Yeah. Really, it's not even an advantage.
Big advantage
for Detroit,
if Detroit came to Buffalo.
Exactly. Yeah.
That'd be a big advantage for Buffalo.
Because like Detroit Green Bay, okay, it's a 10-point difference in the game total score, right?
Yeah.
But they won 34-31, high score game. Not much defense happening there either.
No.
Right. Yeah. So you sit there going, okay, you know, what could happen against?
Well, we know in football, Joe. Anything can happen.
Anything can happen. So Detroit goes to 12-1. Green Bay goes to 9-4.
Yeah.
Green Bay's not... I know they beat Miami week 13. And then they lost to Green Bay to Detroit, who's a way better team than like Miami. But they haven't impressed me. Jacobs has, but nobody... Like, Love hasn't really impressed me this year.
Yeah, he's kind of been up and down.
Yeah.
The whole team has. Yeah. There's something missing there. I don't know what it is, but I mean, they're definitely a competitive team. I mean, they can play with anybody, but it's just they have some kind of like I don't know what it is when they just they seem when they're playing like a decent team, they're just not on their heels
a little bit more.
Yeah, they're maybe lacking in some confidence somewhere.
Well,
because
it's funny because last year when they beat Detroit, everybody had so much expectations for Green Bay this year.
Fair.
They thought they were going to take that massive
step. They destroyed Dallas.
Sorry, Dallas. And they thought they were going to take that massive step forward.
And they lost against San Francisco,
right? But they really didn't this year. I know they had a couple of injuries with Love at the beginning of the season. But, I'm not okay. If,
I agree.
Put it this way. In the whole NFC playoff window, Green Bay doesn't, I'm not betting on them to go far.
Yeah, okay.
Like, I don't see them going maybe through a first round, depends who they pull.
Yeah. I mean, they're already behind the eight ball in the sense of they're not going to win the division. because Detroit's going to win the division.
Right.
So that means they're already in the middle of the pack. Well, that means already that you're obviously not the number. You're not going to. You can't be the top seed if you don't win your division. In yep. You know what I mean? Card. You're already top seed of. And then another division winner is already ahead of you, even if they have a worse record.
Yeah, it's true.
Right.
Yep.
So they could be a fifth seed, and be have a good record, but then you know who know anything can happen. And once you get in the playoffs, you know anything can happen. Where Detroit just gets to sit at home and watch the the first weekend, right? If they make it through. If they win out. If they win out, they got it.
Yeah, so if they beat Buffalo, I think they have it.
Yeah, Detroit, because...
It's locked in, it's 13-1.
Yeah, because Philadelphia is the only team that can pretty much catch them.
Yeah.
Right? Or, Minnesota too, sorry.
Yeah. Minnesota, which is the team that we keep talking about all week. Time.
Wow.
Season we're not sold on. But
yeah.
They keep winning.
If I'm not sold on them now...
Yeah, they keep winning.
Yeah. I mean, remember we kind of talked about, it's like, you know, comeback players of the year are usually guys that have been injured and then they come back and they play well. But like Sam Darnold, like that's something to behold. Like this guy is playing awesome. And I wanted to I was going to just drive the bus over the guy. Like I didn't think he was good at all. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And then he comes into a situation. I think honestly that coaching, that whisper of a QB kind of coach.
Yeah.
And he's made Sam Darnold into something that is to be reckoned with. Yeah, you got Jefferson, who's awesome. You know what I mean? He can make any quarterback look better. Mm-hmm. But he's actually very efficient. So kudos to Sam Darnold, man.
But you're not talking about like MVP.
I think he has to be in
the mix, like in the conversation. Like,
I would say he's in the conversation.
Yeah,
like. You know, you gotta talk about him for sure. His numbers are awesome.
Yeah, and definitely if you like you said, you throw that comeback player of the because he's been kind of bounced around and forgot about in the past couple of years and been like.
But you, mm-hmm. I think when you're getting at a little bit is when you want to talk about MVP, you know, a position that's like kind of been like not kind of looked upon as in high regard like it used to, and that's the running back position.
Oh, they never get it.
Yeah, well.
It's always a quarterback.
There's something going on in the leagues. There has to be more respect. Going
okay, well, you know what? I was going to talk about this later, but let's jump into it now.
Why not?
Hey, why not? And we'll bounce around. Okay, so the MVP conversation has been happening now for the past couple weeks.
Yeah.
We have 4 weeks left. So whoever's in the conversation now is going to be in the conversation 4 weeks from now, unless they like blow a knee, knock on wood, right?
Yeah. Or unless someone just decides to run away with like
something
crazy.
Yeah, exactly. But whatever. Because really, usually the MVP conversation now has been all year, really.
Right.
Like it's kind of been the same people all year. Yeah. Right. So in my mind,
true.
I have three that are in the MVP conversation. I have one that I believe is outside the bubble, but should be in the conversation, but it's not.
Okay.
So we're going to go through my three.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you could agree, disagree, or you could add.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, I'll probably... Yeah.
Okay.
Let's go.
So MVP, correct. Quarterback, MVP, right now conversation. Everybody has him in the conversation. It's Josh Allen.
Yeah, you...
Lamar, but for the past couple of weeks, he's kind of got himself out of it because his play hasn't been good.
Yeah. Okay? Josh Allen is a... He's put a team on his back. And he's putting up these crazy numbers now. So you have to include
him. I'm going to go through three players and three stats.
Yep.
Okay? So Josh Allen, he's 11th in passing yards with 3,033 yards. And he's 6th in passing touchdowns with 23. So he's up there for the quarterback conversation.
Yeah. Rushing touchdowns, I already know one guy who's way ahead of him. But he's probably got quite a few rushing touchdowns too, right?
Who?
Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Like Jalen Hurts.
Yes.
Hurts is like number one guy.
I don't think I can even look at quarterbacks rushing touchdowns.
Yeah.
You get what I mean?
Yeah.
So, okay. And then the other two are running backs, which I'm sure you're going to guess who they are.
Oh, I can guess, yeah.
Right. So we'll go with the first one.
Why don't you just tell me who they are?
So Barkley would be the first one.
For sure.
Okay. He's first in rushing yards with 1,623. He definitely could hit 2,000 yards.
He's probably going to.
Okay. But he's tied for 5th in rushing touchdowns with 11. Okay, but the gap's actually not that big.
Does he have any receiving touchdowns?
I don't know.
Okay, I I'm just curious.
Then we have the beast, Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
Who's second in rushing yards with 1,407. which he could still get some big games and catch.
Oh, he's capable of a 200-yard game.
He's only 100 and some yard difference.
He's capable of a huge game.
And he's first in rushing touchdowns with 13. But the gap of 13 to 12.
That's not a gap.
It's like nothing.
Yeah. Right? That's just a game.
The only problem is running backs never get MVP. But Barkley, what he's doing this year.
Yeah.
That's a thing of the past. And you're talking about a comeback player. Knock on wood.
Yeah.
He's always was injured with the Giants every year.
Yeah. He was healthy last year, but then the Giants just gave up on him.
He's really healthy this year, it looks like, right?
Well, he's motivated.
So obviously. Like if I had to pick today, like out of these three, I would really lean against on like Barkley.
I would because I think he's made like honestly I know. Oh my, see, you know what you're gonna say what I was gonna say. I was gonna say that Philadelphia is actually they're not like Jalen Hurts. Like without Barkley, they're not that good.
They're a totally different team without
Barkley. Barkley changed them into a caliber of team that allowed kind of like the warts on Jalen Hurts to hide.
Yeah.
Because if you ever watch, like, yeah, he's great at running the ball, you know, down the field and scoring touchdowns, you know, with all the, you know, the push tush stuff, right? Yeah. But when you look at his passing, he's not that great of a passer.
They don't have a good passing game.
Yeah.
Like they're not blowing people out down
the field. And they have really good receivers, though.
Right.
Which is like, how are you not putting up big numbers,
they're
right?
They're not throwing the ball deep down the field. They're not doing all that.
Exactly. It's all where you look plays. At Josh Allen, who doesn't have those receivers. Mm-hmm. Like, if you want to, like, compare those dynamics of quarterbacks.
Yeah, he doesn't have a Justin Jefferson, Josh Allen.
Yeah, he's putting up. He's like, that team is on his back. But I also could go and say Barkley put Philadelphia on his back,
mm-hmm.
right?
I agree. Yeah. And that's why I look at that. Now, Derrick Henry's hard because that team's pretty stacked.
Yeah, I mean, you got Lamar,
Derrick Henry was putting these stats up while he was still in Tennessee, I'd be like, what else can a guy want to do?
I think I wouldn't. The reason why I wouldn't include Henry, I agree with why you would say Henry, is because people are more concerned about Lamar than they are Henry. And I think that makes Henry more dangerous, right?
That's a good point. I like that.
So
like
that's the only thing I would say about that. And I think that I would never, ever think I would ever say this, but to put Darnold in the mix of MVP, I mean, I say comeback player. I think he is a comeback player. Like over his whole 8-9 year career, he's comeback. He's a comeback decade player, whatever. But I mean, he's not the caliber of what we're talking about. He's never been that way.
He was first round pick.
No. Yeah. I mean, he was supposed to be.
But he also started. He was pedigree. But where'd he start?
With Jets. Where everyone just seems to die.
Like, that's a good point. You know, he started in the Jets. I think he had no chance. He almost had no chance.
Yeah, you don't want to go to New York.
You don't. I think any quarterback coming out of the draft the next 10 years is like, no.
Yeah, no thanks.
No.
Yeah.
Okay, but here's my wild card.
Let's see that one.
Because you just said about Josh Allen, doing it on his own.
Yeah.
Right? We talked about Sam Darnold's comeback player of the year.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Barkley kind of still doing it, but it's a different team with him than without him, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Joe Burrows. Joe Burrows is having a hell of a year.
Yeah.
Comeback player, because he was hurt all year last year.
It's true.
Okay?
Yeah.
Cincinnati's not doing anything. Without him, they wouldn't even have 4 wins.
Oh, no, there would be one of the worst teams.
He's third in passing yards with 3,337 yards. And first in passing touchdowns.
I'm feeling he'd be first in passing touchdowns.
At 30. And I know everybody's going to say, well, he's got Chase, who's dynamic.
Yeah, but
I
would say Burrow makes Chase, like Chase is great, but Burrow makes you better.
Right. I think Joe Burrow's having a hell of a year.
You still have to have a guy throw
you the
ball.
I think he's having a hell of a year to carry that team to not even losses, but like barely losing a lot of games.
Yeah, no,
their defense stinks.
Yeah, the teams can't even stop their offense.
If Joe Burrow went down this year, Cincinnati wouldn't have won the game.
No, they'd be in big trouble.
If he was still out because of or whatever, if he went out the first game, they wouldn't have won the game.
Yeah.
I know you can say it with a lot of other teams too, but
yeah, you kind of wonder.
Joe Burrow is Cincinnati Bengals.
You kind of wonder, like, you don't worry about their offense. Like, yeah, I mean, people say that.
Well, they lost Mixon. He left.
Yeah, I know, but they say, yeah, exactly. I'm just saying, Burrow, if you were to look at a guy who's like that prototypical QB, he's the guy, man.
Yeah, he is.
And then, but you look at their, like, Cincinnati, it was where they went wrong, is on, the, obviously, the defensive side.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not, I think it's talent, because coaching, the guy that's the defensive coordinator on Cincinnati, he's been good for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So they have, obviously, some talent issues on their defensive side of the ball, right?
I agree, but I just think Burrow's not getting the respect that he's, I guess, could you say earned this year?
Yeah, I think part of the respect
record,
thing.
Do you think a record plays a big part of
respect?
No, of conversation pieces when it comes to things. Like,
I think it has to.
Right.
I think it, like, if your team's not successful,
but is it right though for that?
No, I'm not. No, if you're talking about, if you talk about MVP.
Yeah.
See, here's
most
my,
valuable player. So you should have a winning record. You should be going as far as you can.
Yeah, yes, because you're valuable, right? If you have a losing record, how valuable are you, right? And I mean, the funny thing about Burrow is, like, people are talking about it. It's like, I think he knows that the team isn't going to make the playoffs. So when he goes to press conferences now, instead of talking about football, he's like, hey, did you know I bought the Batmobile?
He's just having fun still.
Right? Well, he's having fun, but man, the regular people listening, like, when he's talking about all the millions that he makes and what he's spending it on a car.
True.
That he can't, that you can't even drive. It's not legal to drive.
True, I agree. He's a little bit of a. So but you even go back to his college days.
When I know he's his own.
He's a hell of a quarterback.
Yeah, he's his own guy.
And you can see with and without him. So Cincinnati last year wasn't great because he was out. He's doing everything he can. A quarterback to be putting up numbers like this.
Yeah.
On a team that only has won four, he can't do anything else.
Yeah, no, he...
You know what I mean? Like, it's almost to a point where he is the most valuable player. So, like, okay.
Yeah, he doesn't play defense.
At the end of the year, the Cincinnati Bengals' most valuable player in the locker room is Joe Burrow.
Oh, hands down.
Because without him, they wouldn't even, like, they're doing nothing. Like, he can't do anything else that he's booted.
Yeah, Ja'Marr Chase is as good as he could be, or it is how good he is. It doesn't matter if you don't got a guy who can throw you the ball.
Exactly.
Right? So, I mean, that guy throws the ball really good.
So who's the MVP?
I would go old school. I would go, hey, it's been a long time. I would give it to Barkley.
Me too. I'm with you on that. I think it's going to be Josh Allen.
Yeah, I think the league will vote Josh Allen, yeah.
I think it should be Barkley.
Who votes for, is it players?
I don't know. I don't know.
Or is it like some kind of Associated Press or something? I don't know.
Probably the committee thing. Who knows?
Yeah, but I'm glad we're in agreement there because there's no one that transformed their team more this year than Barkley in Philly.
Do you know, here's a quick stat about quarterbacks this year. So I ask you, there's two parts of this question, So you got a name. There's one quarterback on track to break the highest completion rate this year ever. Not ever, but like to break the record of 74.4. Do you know the quarterback that held that previously, that holds the record currently? The highest completion rate.
I don't think, but I'm going to go with like a really famous name, Otto Graham.
No, too far back.
Oh.
Way too far back.
Oh. Like, can you give me a decade?
Oh, I don't know if it is a 90s, 2000s for sure.
2000s?
Yeah.
Man. I mean, I would say Brady, but.
It's Drew Brees.
Drew Brees, yeah, he was good at...
He threw the ball.
He was also really good at, like, accuracy.
Exactly.
And his percentage,
So the quarterback this year that's on pace to break it...
Oh, my God, I want to name it, but I don't think I can.
Is Tua.
No kidding.
Missing five games, he's still on pace to break it.
So is there a minimum, attempts, like, that they... Because he missed so many games?
I think he's 200... 200 and something for 300.
Okay, so he's beaten the minimum, obviously.
So in order to even be in that conversation.
So what's his percentage?
Right now he's 73.7 or something like that.
Yeah, that's pretty high.
It is high for a guy that's just...
For a guy that actually is known for his deep ball, too.
And he hasn't thrown any deep ball.
It's all intermediate.
Because they caught on to the play. So if you ever watch Miami Dolphin game... Miami Dolphin game.
Around in the middle of the field.
Field all day. If you watch Miami Dolphin game, if you by chance go watch them play next week, and next week they're playing Houston, you'll see very minimum deep balls to Tyreek Hill and Waddle. They don't throw a deep ball because it didn't take long for teams to watch tape and say,
so they caught don't on.
Let nothing behind, everything goes in front.
Yeah. That's like football 101, right?
Don't let them past you.
Yeah, why are you letting the guy run past you?
Keep them in front.
Yeah.
And the deep ball's gone. Down. And the deep ball's gone.
Yeah. So that Tyreek Hill play.
Gone. It's gone. It's obsolete.
Out of the league.
It's obsolete.
Yeah.
So he does a lot of quick slants. Quick, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that shows you
something about his quarterback play then. Because his accuracy, and people like thought maybe he was a one-trick pony, but he's not. He's a guy that can just throw the ball around.
And using the tight end like crazy now.
Well, that's probably,
Smith?
That's probably a good thing.
But they've never
good teams.
But they've never had it for years. They've never had a tight end.
Yeah.
Right? It was always throw the ball to the receivers. And now this tight end. So you do have some.
I know. When you think of the Dolphins, you don't think of any tight end.
You think of tight end. But Juno Smith's having a hell of a year. He caught that pass in the overtime against the Jets last game. Nice. So the guy went. I know.
Oh, yeah. Totally sidetracked. I know.
The guy went touchless the whole game. Not a ball thrown to him the whole game. And why do I know that? Two things. One, I'm a Miami Dolphin fan. Yeah. Two, having my...
That's number one
for
sure. Two,
having my fantasy. I know, but...
No,
I'm like, the guy didn't touch the ball.
Yeah, you are who you are, Joe. You're a Dolphin fan, so, and you play fantasy football.
So, I get it. In overtime, the Dolphins score a touchdown in overtime to win the game. They win the coin toss and get the ball.
Yeah.
The guy, Jonas Smith, the tight end, gets two passes thrown to him. For completions.
Yeah.
Then gets the pass thrown to him for a touchdown.
Wow.
Touchless all game. Yeah. Not a ball thrown to him.
So it's like Tua went up to him and said, guess what? They're not guarding you because they don't think you're going to get the ball. And I'm just going to throw it to you three times.
And we're going
to
win the game. Yeah, and they won the game. So it's kind of funny when you see stuff like that. And the guy was jacked because he didn't touch the ball all game. Right?
Wow, yeah. That's
so that's pretty exciting when you're like, you took me out of the game.
That's fantastic.
But anyway, so they won that game. But I want to talk about one quick game. From last week before we move on.
Sure.
Kansas City and Chargers.
Yeah.
I honestly thought the Chargers were going to beat Kansas City. Chargers are a good team.
No, they're not a bad team. The Chargers are...
First year coach, but there's been some pains in there. But they're a good team.
Yeah, no, they've played some good teams lately. And they could have easily won those games.
And even though Kansas City's 12-1, which is a great record, and everybody's saying the refs and the league, and everybody's saying it's fixed and blah, 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 and... Whatever, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. They've been finding ways to win games.
Yeah, I mean, they always say, you know, like especially at a certain point in the season, your record is indicative of what team you are. Like, so it doesn't matter if, you know, we talk about every time Kansas City did it again. Yeah. Kansas City did it again. Yeah. Well, that's exactly what you're supposed to do.
You win games. You just find a way to win the game.
Yeah, so everyone can
everybody, from the kicker to the... Yeah. To the center, like you find a way to win the game.
They make the play when the play needs to happen, and they win the game.
Show up.
So as much as it's frustrating.
It is frustrating.
It's just like to see this team like, oh, they did it again.
They don't quit.
No. And I mean, they're also the champions, so everyone's going to want to stomp on them.
Exactly.
Right?
Did you watch the game? Did you watch the highlights?
Yeah, I watched the highlights.
Did you see Andy Reid didn't even watch the field goal?
No,
he missed it. So I think Heaving's at a point now, and he's like, how many close games do we have to have here?
Yeah, how many one?
The guy went up to go kick the ball for the field goal.
Yeah.
And Andy Reid did not look. The whole team was looking right, and he was looking dead straight.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you know
and
what?
He waited till the crowd to cheer, and then you saw him cheer.
Well, good Andy Reid, eh?
Because he was probably like, I can't do this every week, guys.
Yeah, but I kind of like that about Andy Reid. Right? He's like, okay, here we go again.
But they won the game.
Yeah.
They won by two. They did it. They move on to 12-1.
What a right. I mean, like, think about it. Like,
hey, man, you're going to win.
You lost one game? Like,
one game.
Come on.
To Buffalo.
Yeah. And, like,
they could have won that game.
You could say they did it again, but, like, it's not like flipping a coin. You're not like, oh, it just keeps coming up heads. You know, they're a football team, and they're making plays when they need to make plays.
The guys you pay are making the plays.
Yeah.
That's why you pay them the big bucks.
It's usually Mahomes making some kind of crazy.
And their defense is a hell of a team. Hell of a defense, man.
No, they have a good defense. They do.
Everybody's not.
That's what I mean. When they get to the playoffs, like, and they're going to be playing at home, they're going to be a tough out.
And the defense is what does keep them in the game. Like, the defense is saying it's giving the offense every chance to win.
Yeah.
So when the offense finally comes up and does win by field goal or whatever, or the defense has to step up, they step up,
yeah,
and they win the game. I just think that I don't think that I get everybody. Like everybody's going to jump on the champs.
Well, we always want to talk about controversy,
but everyone's jumping on the champs.
We actually definitely want to stomp on it. That's why it's also harder for them to win, because every team is like, "Can we beat the champs?"
Yeah,
right. When you're the champ,
I actually don't.
Everyone wants to knock you down.
I just think that if you're going to be that good, then be that good.
And they seem to be that good.
You want to be a whatever, 17-18-1 team, whatever it is, 17-1 with the records
now.
Yeah, be that team. You want to win, then win it all. Win it all.
Yeah. We talked about that like right in the beginning of the.
Don't be a phony team where you go into the playoffs at 17-1 and then you go out first, like second round.
Yeah. Right? What I like about Kansas, they're not skirting around anything. They're just like, they know who they are.
They're a gritty team.
They know who they are.
They're a gritty team. They're not walking out there blowing people away and being cocky on the field.
But no one's blowing them away either.
Yeah.
So it's not like they're showing up and someone's just taking
them out,
right?
They're totally beatable.
Exactly.
It's just, do you have that edge on them where you're going to out-compete them? And I think at the end of the day, they're out-competing people.
Yeah.
They're playing to the whistle. They're playing to the last second.
Yeah.
They're playing the full game. Everybody's in.
Yeah. In their eyes, they want to be a dynasty. They want to be that. They want to be a team that they don't exist. You know, they're supposedly they don't exist anymore. So they want to be one of those teams. So and what better? Like you couldn't have a better guy lead, like a better coach and a better quarterback.
Yeah, totally agree. Totally agree.
Like, come on,
everybody, every fan you are would trade your coach and quarterback today for that duo.
100%.
Without and if you said no, you don't watch.
Yeah, those. Like, yeah. You don't want to be a champion.
You're just like a homer.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. 100%. If you're the biggest Green Bay fan, you'd be like, no, I would never trade LaFleur and Love for that guy. What? Yes, you would.
Yes, you would.
And you'd give them the money, and you'd give them a bag of football, and you'd give them unlimited.
Give them whatever they want.
Wanted. Like, it doesn't work like that.
No, I'm with you.
Everybody was going to be on him. So, a couple big games, I think, coming up this week. I'm really excited for the Thursday Nighter, which is the Rams and the 49ers.
Yeah, no, I...
Divisional game.
That'd be a really good game because of what's at stake, right? Obviously, the 49ers, they have to win.
They have to win.
But so do the Rams.
But the 49ers are just getting depleted again.
Yeah, they're
now they lost their third string quarter running back.
Yeah, man.
Like they got that bug. They got the bug.
Yeah.
It started with the bug at the beginning of the season.
With McCaffrey.
And they can't shake. Oh.
Is that what you mean?
He's
done. He might be in trouble.
I think he's done. I think his NFL career is over.
Yeah, I think he's got a serious problem with his knees.
I think he has a big decision to make.
Yeah. You kind of saw, I mean, I wouldn't say I saw it coming, but I'm like, he was injury prone when he was in Carolina a little bit. Like, he had some off things. And then he went off, like, you know, 2 years of a good run. And then, overused.
He shouldn't have played.
Probably not. He probably been shut down.
So, here's my thoughts on the McCaffrey situation. I don't think he should have played. I think there was an underlying issue that it took some doctor somewhere to say he could go, but I don't think he should have.
Yeah, do you think
that was the worst weather for him to play if he was having some sort of issues with
muscle
his
issues or
Achilles,
whatever,
calf, or knees? Right, like that's worse weather to run in that garbage, right?
Yeah,
and. When you saw the coach's comments after, it didn't look good.
Mm.
It looked like he almost knew
that he was not going to finish
like,
the game.
Not even the game.
Oh, just
this
his
guy
career?
Could be like
done.
We could have. This could be like an RG3 all over again.
Yeah. Wow.
Like, he played when he shouldn't have played.
Yeah.
And then that's it. Now he's like, he's definitely. I think he's definitely out for a huge chunk of next year.
Really? Eh?
Well, because now he's got to really address his injuries.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you need surgery on your Achilles if that's a route to go? Do you need do you have to repair it somehow? Do you have knee issues?
Yeah.
You should have done something. Do you have something like? I think, fuck man.
I think you're on to something, but I think there's a lot of like, you know, speculation because they kind of cover up stuff of what's wrong with him.
For sure.
So it's like, he went to a special...
In Germany.
Right?
He has arthritis. He has arthritis in both Achilles.
Yeah, tendonitis. Because of overuse or whatever.
Yeah.
So, to throw him, like, at that point in the season, like... they were looking for something. Team. Maybe there was an internal, like it was an internal discussion about this. And he's like, you know what? I think I can go.
Yeah.
And maybe the, okay. Yeah. I guess
he didn't have a bad week before, but it wasn't also this.
Yeah. But he wasn't, he didn't seem like the same guy.
Right. And it was also this garbage weather now where you could slip a lot.
Yeah. So I think there's something amiss there that we obviously we're not going to know for a while.
Never. Yeah. No, he's not going to.
But I agree with you. I think that, you know,
it's just too bad. He's a generational player.
Yeah, I mean, he obviously had his all his talent, but part of being a great player is being healthy.
Oh, like too, a Derrick Henry healthy. Like,
yeah, like a guy that can just play year after year.
Yeah.
You know, and he's had injury history in the past too. It's not like this is the first time. So, like he tore his ACL in Carolina, I believe. He was on the shelf for many, many games there too. And then San Francisco traded for him. Not to say that was a good move, obviously.
But they traded for him while he was injured.
Like,
yeah.
No, yeah, I think he was like coming back or something. Was, oh, and, yeah, yeah. And then yeah. They came, and then they got him, and then he was injury free for a little while.
Yeah.
But there was obviously probably underlying issues with his legs,
which I think it's
that
like,
just caught up to him.
Which I think it's all running backs because it's like such, it's such the it, it's probably the, is it fair to say it's the biggest decline in a positional sport?
Oh,
in,
the quickest
in football, the quickest. Yeah.
For sure.
Like,
there's no other position where you're getting, like, you're just getting, you're running and getting hit
like,
all the time.
But it's like night and, like, it's so quick. So, and I say that.
The decline, you mean. Yeah.
Because the way why, the reason why I bring this up and say it is because as we're talking about McCaffrey, I'm thinking of another running back where it went from last year to the top to this year that he's pretty much done this year.
Yeah. And you're talking about McCaffrey.
No.
Oh.
I'm talking about Raheem Mostert for the Dolphins.
Oh.
He went from last year leading the league in touchdowns and having a hell of a year.
Yeah, he was on fire, yeah.
He looks old this year.
Really, eh?
And it's
but maybe fast. he like you said, like they always talk about this. He's in his 30s.
Yeah. Yeah.
So for a running back
37, 38, like
yeah, if you're anywhere in your 30s,
yeah,
for a running back, you're considered old.
Yeah, but I mean it's like it, but like a light switch.
Yeah. It's just like
to
almost
go
like
from last year to this to like no other sport does that hardly.
Yeah. Well, especially position.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So it's funny, but it's anyway, we got totally sidetracked with like running backs now. But if you go to the games next week, we're talking about the Rams 49ers. I think it's a huge game because the Rams also have Seattle the last game of the season.
Hmm. Yeah.
So,
that's
so the divisional games are coming in now. Right.
Yeah.
And for the division
they always hold on to these games until, right. in the NFL until like,
but this is one of the closest divisions.
Yeah.
They're all within a game of each other.
Yeah, that's
so the Rams
crazy.
Are 7-6. Seattle's 8-5, it would be then.
I don't even know, yeah.
And the 49ers are 6-7.
So they're all within jumping
these games
distance
are huge.
Of each other, yeah.
This game's probably
especially
one of the
when
biggest
you play
games.
Each other, yeah.
This game on Thursday night's probably one of the biggest games of the like it's a huge game.
I never Joe, thanks for telling me because I didn't know it was that big.
Yeah.
But
so
now,
I'm
I'll
all
probably
in on
watch
that game
it,
Thursday night. And they have the 49ers at home by 2.5. Because at home. And the Rams record is 7-6. That's the only reason.
That's home field advantage.
Yeah. I would be very hard pressed not to take the Rams in that game.
I would take the Rams.
Yeah.
Based on what I just saw.
Exactly.
I'd be taking the Rams.
Me too.
I just think that San Francisco is just not their year.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, they're too depleted.
We talked about that and I'll just bring it up again. The teams that I said, remember I said those teams that if somebody told you to begin the year, the record they would have now, you would never take that bet. So San Fran. Right?
Yep.
Miami.
Yeah.
Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'll even throw in the Jets.
Yeah.
If beginning of the year, if somebody told you all four of those teams by week 14 would be below 500,
yeah,
you would never take
would
that
you
bet.
Throw the Cowboys in that mix too?
Oh, yeah, Cowboys. Sorry, yes. Five. So there's five
about
games.
My team.
No, yeah, sorry. So five teams. I would never guess they would all be below 500.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't have either. If I was a betting man, like,
San Fran, you would say,
crazy.
Would be up there for the division.
Cincinnati.
Right?
So,
Cincinnati, you would say, definitely winning the North or up there.
Yeah, and Dallas has been 12 in the last 12 wins in the last 3 years in a row.
Right?
So, yeah.
You know, and Miami maybe. From coming back from last year, tying with
Miami's
Buffalo.
Miami's up there too, man.
All of them below 500.
With all the talent those teams have?
It's,
wow.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, I know.
Potentially, these teams are not in playoffs, all five of them.
Yeah. There's a good chance.
So Dallas not in playoff is huge.
Cincinnati.
Money. No, but money-wise, Dallas not in the playoff game is huge.
Yeah.
For ratings on TV, and people.
Yeah,
in the
Vegas
stands,
likes Dallas right? being in the playoffs.
Right,
yeah.
That's a big, sure. that's a big hit
I like
in
him
Jerry
in the
Jones'
too.
Pocket.
Yeah,
like, that's.
I like
massive.
Him. In the, you know why I like him in the playoffs, Joe? So I can watch them lose.
Yeah. Okay. Well, my team hasn't won a playoff game yet, so we won't go there.
But you know what? I'll talk a little bit about you know when you have a losing record, you know. But I don't know. Do we have a little bit more to talk about?
Well,
yet?
You know what? Let's talk about two games quick.
Sure. Yeah. Let's do
Buffalo, Detroit. We actually talked about it already. So
Buffalo, Detroit is
a big
like,
game. We already talked about that earlier.
Yeah. We and there's nothing to talk about other
than
the
be a good game.
You know what you talk about there is nothing other than watching it.
Yeah. And they got Detroit by two at home. Totally fair.
Yeah.
I'm not giving Detroit any more points than that.
Yeah.
For Vegas thing, that's a perfect Vegas bet.
Yeah, that is because a lot based on what Buffalo has been doing, and based on where Detroit is, and you know, you know, even Detroit is, you know, they're struggling on the defensive side of the ball a bit too, right?
But I think that's a fair spread. Two points.
I think that's going to be a great game. Actually, I think there'll be a lot of points in that game.
Here's my other good game of the week: is Pittsburgh and Philly. Now we see who Pittsburgh is.
Yeah, and I think they're
because Philly's playing good football, and so is Pittsburgh.
Philly is like, okay, they have the MVP at the running back position. So that's they have that. And their defense is actually, Philadelphia's defense has actually played a lot better than they did in the beginning of the season.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they turned something around there.
So they're a decent team. I actually think that they're built similar,
mm-hmm.
Other than like
running back position.
Yeah.
But from a receiving core, Pittsburgh's got some pretty good receivers out there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Pickens, I think he was injured. But so yeah, if good. He plays. And, you know,
defense really steps up.
And Wilson's resurgence and, you know, Jalen Hurts and Wilson, they're like similar to me, except I think Wilson's a little more accurate.
Yeah. They're giving Philly 5.5.
Really? Eh?
Yeah.
In Pittsburgh?
In Philly.
Okay. Yeah.
I would love to see Pittsburgh 11.
Actually, I would take that.
Yeah, I
would take Pittsburgh in
especially
that 5
if weather's
and a half.
Not good or anything.
Yeah.
I would love to see Pittsburgh go 11-3.
Yeah, Pittsburgh can beat Philly.
I would love that. I would love to see Russell Wilson go 11-3, and just for Denver to be like, "What did we do?"
Do you want to see you want to see Pittsburgh go far in the playoffs?
I do. Yeah, I want to see Russell Wilson. I love the Russell Wilson story right now.
Yeah,
I just love how in Denver, they just like kiboshed him and said, "Well, the coach really because he is an air he is." Like Sean, what's his name?
Sean Payton. Yeah. It wasn't a right. Russell Wilson fan, no.
No, but he, like, just, like.
I don't know if it was much, from his days in New Orleans.
But
I don't
just
know.
Put him on the bench and yelled at him on the sideline and pretty much, like.
Degraded him. Yeah.
Degraded him in, on like during live games
yeah.
and stuff. To a yeah, point
a
where,
lot of
like,
people wanted
to. To a point where they're like, we're just going to get rid of you and pay your salary.
Which is so weird because it's so much.
And now he's on a team that, like. Potential that are 10-3
yeah.
versus Denver that are 8-5.
Yeah, but Denver. I mean,
they're doing well.
No,
they are
well. I'll say that Russell Wilson resurgence and all, good for you, man. But like Sean Payton's, Knicks is a good, like,
great quarterback.
So he got his guy. You know what I mean? So I think that's part of it, right? Because he runs his own ship.
Yep.
He steers it. You know,
and Bo Nix has a huge future.
And they obviously didn't see eye to eye with Wilson, so.
Yeah. So, yeah, so those are the games. I mean, I got Miami and Houston written down. That's just because Houston needs to win this game. Because if not, they drop to 8-6. They potentially could knock themselves out of a wild card.
Yeah.
And then Miami has to win this game and bring them to 500 to be in that wild card mix. So this is a big game for both. Because Houston can't afford to lose. And Miami can't afford to lose, really. So what's the game going to be? I don't know. They got Houston by 2.5. I like to see Miami. I think Miami's got too much of a hill to climb.
Yep.
I think they need not only to win, but everybody else has to lose. When you get in those positions,
yeah, I mean,
it never works out.
I know you want to talk about percentages. I think the Cowboys have like a 5% chance to make the playoffs.
I think
Miami's
like 10 or under 10. It's like, but it's like, what are you gonna do? You got to win every game. You can't make a mistake on the field.
And that's why,
and all the teams got to lose. It's like it's too much.
And Joe, that kind of brings me to my extra point because, I mean, when you're on a football team, and you are decimated by injuries, or you're just like not. Just not your year, right? So they always talk. I know they always talk about like, oh no, like you play to win the game. Like that's like a quote, right? But when you're in a position to potentially draft a guy that could transform your franchise, do you ever think about like, maybe we shouldn't win these games?
and just
tank. I know that people, like, I'm pretty sure that teams don't want to lose. I know that it seems like a conspiracy, you know,
they investigate it now to see if you're actually are tanking.
Yeah, like, is there? But there's ways that you could easily lose games. Oh, easy. Like, so it's like internally. But like, if you're a team owner, and you have a potential to get that Joe Burrow or, you know, that guy that could just like transform your team, and it could be just a top 10 pick.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, is there, and you know you're out. Mathematically or not, like you always talk about, you know, you're mathematically in it.
But you could say
you're mathematically in it, but are you going to be one of the good teams?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Are you in it and you're just going to lose anyway?
Yeah.
What's the point?
Yeah,
you sold an extra day worth of beer.
So, whatever. But like, wouldn't you rather be mathematically in it next year by drafting that guy that could actually, like, and I'm not saying there's any guarantees in draft picks, because if you want, someone would easily say, oh yeah, okay, well, yeah, I'll take Jamarcus Russell. And you know what? I'm going to pass on Tom Brady.
Yeah.
So
or I'm going to take Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, I mean, you could say
you go out forever with.
No, I know you could say that draft picks fail a lot, and they do. But I would say the analytics show more today than ever that there's a guy that you look on the analytics, you look on the film, whatever. I think they're more efficient at making decisions on who good players are and who are not, and who are like pretenders and who are contenders as far as draft picks. I actually think that you can see a guy who could like make your team better versus, you know, maybe in the past where you're just kind of flipping a coin going, yeah, this guy looks really good on tape. You know what I mean? But Tom Brady was a 200th pick. Jamarcus Russell was like a first overall. Yeah. Jamarcus Russell was horrible.
Yeah.
Tom Brady proved he could be a great player. But would you tank the season to grab that guy that you know that you want to draft?
So I'll follow that up with two comments.
Sure.
One, yes, I think you're right. I think teams are probably looking at going and say, wait a minute, we're not going nowhere, blah, blah, blah. But at some point, you also got to look at your current roster and say, but who do we have now that we have locked in for whatever years, and where are we? Because if you take a quarterback, let's say this year, you're great, we're not going nowhere.
Yeah,
let's get our first round pick.
I guess position is
and
what
we take
you're
a
saying.
Quarterback.
Yeah.
Okay, cool, because our quarterback's not good.
Yeah.
But then you go down the list and say, but wait a minute, let's just throw names. We only have Justin Jefferson left for 1 year. We only have this guy left for 2 years. We have this defensive guy or star player only on for the next 1 year or 2 years. Your window's closed. So even if you go out there and get your draft pick, now you're talking about a team that you might not even have to gut.
Yeah, because you...
And now you have...
Fair.
Right? And now have this quarterback, but now you have...
Okay.
I'm saying... There's got to be more into it where they're like, okay, these guys are all locked in for the next 7 years. Our quarterback's not the guy.
Right.
Our season's getting pretty much over. Potentially, there's a conversation saying, screw it, let's go for the pick. Right?
Yeah. Like,
but it's like, all our guys are 1 year. Yeah. Like, we have no window.
Yeah. The circumstances will dictate.
Unless you know they want to stay in Dallas. Yeah. They want to stay in New Orleans. They want to stay, right?
Fair.
But then you could also flip it and say, if you look at Minnesota this year, last year they said, screw it. And they went after, what's his name? That got hurt in preseason.
Oh,
from the Wolverines. J.J. McCarthy.
McCarthy, yeah.
First round pick.
And then he took ruined, him. Yeah.
Boom. Knee. Done. Thank God Sam Darnold did something. Because they went all in on this kid.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, Sam Darnold was...
Would the Vikings be the same with him? I don't think so.
Probably not.
I don't think so.
They probably wouldn't be as good, no.
No, they could win it. Because this is your first year rookie. You're not going to come out your first year.
Yeah.
And be 12-3.
Yeah.
Like, whatever they are,
even if the
Minnesota
coach
is.
Even if the coach is like a QB whisperer,
right?
Yeah.
Right? Like, yeah. I don't think so. You get a lot of learning curves when you come out of university, college ball, and start throwing the ball in the NFL.
Yeah, no, I think that Darnold ended up in a great position you said McCarthy, right?
Yeah, J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, he blew out his knee or whatever, and he was done, right?
But I just think that there's a lot of investigations now on this.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Are you tanking? Because you got to be competitive, which I think every team, if they're not competitive, should be fined. If you're not putting a competitive team on the field, you should be fine.
And they would.
Yeah, because you got to be somewhat competitive. You
potentially lose that draft pick.
You got to be competitive at some point. Maybe you're not as talented as every team out there, but you got to be competitive on the field.
Yeah.
If you just walk out there and you're off and your defensive line just stands up and everybody just runs through, you know what I mean?
I know. You can't make it look obvious.
Exactly. So but, I think, but even but, when the point is when they gut a team, you can't fully gut your team. Every team that's even bad has to have some superstar on either side of the ball.
Yeah, all teams do, yeah.
You have to almost because you need a draw to the team.
Yeah, and I'm going to agree with what you're saying because I think you could look at it this way too, where, you could just like play like the quote says, play to win the game. Doesn't matter what you got a losing record. You know you're not going to make the playoffs. But guess what? Maybe you getting the 12th pick, you get that superstar.
Who knows?
Right. Because that's been proven too.
On any side of the ball.
That's what I mean. Like, a guy could drop to you.
Yeah.
So to say that you want to get, you're going to tank the season. I know two teams don't do it.
No. I mean, some. Like, some
I don't. But yeah, I don't. I'm just saying. I think
some have no future.
I just think it was more of an interesting conversation because, you're like, well, can we get that guy that's just going to transform our team? But you're right. There's so many pieces of the puzzle, so many variables at play. That it's almost impossible to even come up with that decision.
There's always one team I always think about this before we go, whatever. There's one team I always think about is the Seattle Seahawks. They're not going nowhere with Geno Smith.
I never thought Geno Smith was going to be.
But they're going to stay around this 500 team or a little bit better every year.
Yeah.
And do nothing to improve their game. Their team.
Yeah.
They might go and get a deep draft pick for a running back. Or like next, a start, but they'll never get that quarterback. As long as they try to be, but you can't knock them because they want to be competitive every game. So
every year they want to win,
and they do a great job at what they have.
Yeah, that's fair.
But they're never gonna get that player.
Yeah, as long as you got Geno, you're not. Yeah,
but they're not built that way in that franchise.
Yeah.
Right,
I know because generational players they don't just drop off the tree. You know, I mean, there's only maybe one every draft.
Yeah,
that's it.
But I look at some teams this year. I'm thinking to myself, hey, maybe these guys should not tank, but call it a year.
Yeah,
and get some draft picks. I look at teams saying, hey, man, hopefully the best, but you should fire your coach.
There's that. Yeah,
like, I think there's gonna be a ton of coaches getting fired at the end of this year.
Yeah.
I hope
one goes and they talk about he's not going to go, but I hope
the Miami Dolphin coach goes in a heartbeat.
Yeah,
figured him out.
I hope McCarthy goes too.
They figured him out. The game's boring with them now. Like he can't.
Yeah.
He can't figure it out.
McCarthy, I just think that I'm not.
Yeah, but somebody will pick him up in a heartbeat.
He's not a bad coach, but I just think he's too old school.
He's been there for too long. You think?
I just feel like the NFL is like
the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The game.
I can see that because
he's more of a. He's an offensive mind, right? He's not a defensive guy. He was definitely, great for, Rodgers and Favre. He's a good QB guy.
Cobb, yeah, like and offensive
he
players
probably made well. Dak into, last year he had phenomenal numbers, but I just think that there's a point where the game's just getting young.
Okay, here's a question for you before we go.
I just think that coaches are younger now.
You're an owner or GM? Doesn't matter. You pick. Are you your guy?
Or are you both?
Or you're both. I'm sure. You're a franchise. You're a new team. Franchise team. Right? You're new. You're the whatever team. Okay? New city. New team. You're looking for a coach.
Yeah.
All the coaches lined up for interviews. Are you going defensive mind coach or offensive mind coach?
That's a good question. I actually think that I would go offense.
Ooh, really?
Yeah.
Coming from you?
From me, yes. Interesting. You know why? Because this is why. I think the game is so open and offensive that if you give me an offense of mine, I can fix the defense somehow. Like, I feel like I can get a guy on defense that can, run the show.
Which is funny because
I don't think you can do that on offense.
See, which is funny because I'd be the opposite. I'd be like, give me a defensive mind coach. But find me that offensive coordinator that's got the
defensive guys are there's so many of them, but there's not really good offensive.
And every time there's a coach firing, isn't it weird how it's always the defensive coordinator gets bumped up?
Yeah, that is kind of weird.
It's hardly ever the offensive coordinator. It's a lot of the defensive coordinator.
That's interesting.
All of a sudden, it's like, boom, he's in. Because I think there's always been in the football.
So is that your kind of like your point then? Like,
yeah, I think so. But I also think in the NFL, there's always been a more of a, what's it called, like a teeter-totter. Like it's more it to tilts defense,
towards the defense
all the time.
Always want defense. I think first, so.
From from like ownerships and GMs, I mean, they all want the star offensive player.
They always, the cliche is defense wins championships.
So I mean, go after the good defensive mind.
But I feel like it's evolved differently. So I think I can go the other way now.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
This is
it was a good one.
Good comeback.
We're on
welcome back, Joe.
We're on to week 15.
Okay. See you guys. Yeah, we'll see you next week.
See ya.